very much. Melanie has a point to make with something entirely different. Melanie, good morning.
Good morning.
Melanie, you want to highlight a day that's coming up next week, is that right?
Yes, it's Rare Disease Day on the 28th.
Rare Disease Day. Mm-hmm. What exactly is that, Melanie?
It's basically a day to raise awareness about how prevalent rare diseases are in the world, to get politicians thinking about how they can support rare disease in their, I suppose, in their government offices, but also then looking at clinicians and different people to raise awareness about, you know, patient journey and difficult diagnosis and what it's like to be a person who has a rare disease.
I can imagine a politician coming to your door over the next week or so and you saying to them, what are you going to do about rare diseases? They'd probably look blankly at you, or indeed they may have a stock answer about the state of the health service. Is there any particular rare disease that you're highlighting?
For myself in particular, there is, and it's one that doesn't actually have any sort of research or any support group in the UK as such, and that is periodic fever syndrome. Now, there is one in America and it deals with the rare disease, but my particular condition that myself and my little boy has is one in a million. So as you can imagine, there's not that many of us floating about, so therefore there isn't a support group or there isn't research into that.
That is so, so rare. How does it manifest itself?
Well, it's an autoinflammatory disease, so basically it affects all of your organs. And to put it in layman's terms, people who suffer from this disease doesn't have a regulated immune response that a normal person would have. So for yourself, you would get sick appropriately. You would react to viruses and bacteria. But for somebody like myself, I don't have that regulation. So I would be producing inflammation all the time. And that affects all organs. So it could be your heart, your brain, your liver, your kidneys, your skin, any part of your body.
So you could break out in a rash, or you could have terrible migraines, you could have fatigue, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, you could have arthritis type pains, you could have inflammation in your heart, which is pericarditis. You could have kidney problems, can lead to blindness, deafness, and also you run a risk of organ damage and amyloidosis.
Is anyone listening to you on it?
You get people listening to you, and we do have things like we have a Northern Ireland Rare Disease Strategy that was published last year. But having a piece of paper is one thing, but it being put into action in the hospitals and clinic settings is a different thing.
They seem quite good at that, don't they? Having a strategy, printing a paper, releasing a paper on it, publishing a paper. They seem quite good at that, and then it gathers dust. Is that the feeling you're getting?
Yeah, I think it's quite slow in terms of action on the sort of the front line for people like myself in terms of what's happening in the background. There's lots of work going on with genes and trying to identify things and research and things that's going on, which is very good and very, very plausible. But at the front line, that's where the problems are for people like myself, and that's where the frustration lies, because there isn't the communication between different people. And for somebody like myself who sees upwards of 8 different specialists for my disease, they don't talk to each other, and there's not a coordinated care system. And it doesn't just happen with my condition, it happens with other people I speak to on sort of the rare disease circuit, if you like, whereby they're seeing all these people and there isn't a coordinated approach. And also they feel that when you have a rare disease, you become the expert in your own care. You know about your disease and you know about it probably more than just a doctor that you meet when you go into A&E. You have comments from doctors like, oh, I've just gone and Googled your condition, and it doesn't put hope in you. it doesn't inspire you with confidence when you're presenting with something that is so rare and nobody knows what to do with you.
How worried are you about your son then facing up to it as well?
I am. I'm worried about it on a health perspective, but it's not just that. It permeates the whole, sort of our whole lifestyle, really. It's school, it's services that you deal with, because it's a disease that people haven't heard of before. So with that comes ignorance. And I don't mean that in a nasty way, I just mean it as people don't understand what it is, and especially if it's an invisible illness, where you look fine and when you're out in public you generally are well, because when you're not well you're at home and you're not presenting. So a lot of people have difficulty with people who have invisible illnesses, and that reaches from when you're using a disabled toilet or when you're using a disabled space for your car, or you need extra support or help. People think you don't need it or you don't deserve it because you just look like any other normal person.
Yeah, people jumping to conclusions.
Yeah.
Finally, Melanie, give us the name of your syndrome again, please.
It's cryopyrin-associated periodic syndrome. So it's CAPS for short.
Okay, we're now aware of it at least. And Tuesday, 28th of February, is Rare Disease Day. And our thoughts with anyone coping with any form of illness, well, in particular if it's a rare disease and you feel alone with your trauma or indeed your challenge.